This episode of WWE Today is being sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, it's time to plan a trip to Walt Disney World. When you say to yourself, I want to get back down there, family, we've had enough of this living and working. We got to go live in vacation. And, of course, vacation Walt Disney World is the place to be. And MEI and Mouse Travel is here to help you plan a great vacation to Walt Disney World. There's so many great events and, of course, favorite attractions, shows, and just great experiences waiting to happen at Walt Disney World. So check out what Mouse Fan Travel's got available right now on their website at mousefantravel.com. We're also being sponsored by All Star Vacation Homes. And when you're in Walt Disney World and you're spending the day there and of course, experiencing all those wonderful attractions and shows and rides, you know, you want to go someplace back where it's not just four walls and a bed and maybe a shower. You want to be able to sprawl out. You want where you stay just to be as exciting as where you're going in Walt Disney World. And I'll tell you, our friends at All Star Vacation Homes have great homes. In fact, really, really well done houses with just amazing amenities. Amenities that are so good, you question why you don't just live there in general. But it's, and honestly, it's probably cheaper to live there than to live where you're currently living because they have some great deals going on at All Star Vacation Homes. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. We're also being sponsored by touringplans.com, and there's nothing worse than long lines at Walt Disney World. It's just, it's a fact of life. Taxes, death, and long lines. But the good news, you can get around those long lines. Not so much death or taxes. Well, legally anyway. But touringplans.com is what you need to get around those long lines at Walt Disney World. And we've got a special discount code just for you, our WDW Today listeners. That's right. If you use discount code ZUZU2015, ZUZU2015, you will save a bundle on a touringplans.com subscription. Check them out right now, touringplans.com.
Bringing the world to your world, this is Walt Disney World Today. Here are Mike Scopa, Len Testa, Mike Newell, and your host, Matt Hochberg.
It's Wednesday, April 1st, 2015, and this is episode 1454 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudiosCentral.com and RoyalCaribbeanBlog.com. Joining me on today's show is Len Testa, co-author of The Intro Guide to Walt Disney World, and he's also the host of the Disney Dish with Jim Hill podcast. Welcome to the show, Len.
How's it going, Matt?
Outstanding. We're also being joined by Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Show. Mike.
Well, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. 1 week off?
Yes.
Well, did I take 1 week off or 2 weeks off?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Look at that. A month.
And it will reflect in the next week's paycheck.
Oh, man. Well, on today's show, we're going to be previewing the month of April in Walt Disney World. And, of course, with Easter coming up this weekend and for some, spring break, whatever you want to call it, the April break. I know that a lot of people, their school districts have that April break, the February break, they have the April break. And, you know, it's a very popular time to get down to Walt Disney World. And, you know, I think we'll just start with the crowds at Walt Disney World in the month of April. You know, how would you describe before we jump into the nitty gritty here? I mean, is this a busy month? Is this a super busy month? Is it kind of a slower month? How do you kind of look at it?
You know, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times, Matt. obviously Easter is Sunday, April 5th. So this first week up through April 5th is going to be, you know, fairly busy. Even the following Easter Monday after that, and maybe through, let's say the ninth, the Thursday or Friday after that. So the first, you know, 9 or 10 days of April are pretty busy. After that, things, you know, sort of return to average for most of the rest of the month. In fact, towards the end of the month, it's actually a little bit below average, like the last week of April when all the kids are back in school. They've all got sort of end of grade testing coming up, you know, and they're in that last sort of last 3 or 4 week push to learn as much as they can before they go off for summer and forget everything that they know. So, you know, it's really like the first third of the month is very busy. Next third of the month is sort of in the middle, and then the last third is a little bit slower than average.
When when Easter is a little early, and this year I think it's on the earlier side than anything, does that help crowds or does that make it worse?
A couple of confounding things this year were the big snowstorms up north. Where a lot of spring breaks got altered, canceled, whatever. And this year, April's sort of, it's not the earliest it could be, which I believe is in late March, and it's not as late as it can be, which I think is in late April. So it's towards the earlier side. Anytime you get it closer to March, you're sort of competing with college spring breaks as well.
Right.
Anytime you're in late April, it tends to spread things out a little bit more because you've got more chances for other school systems to schedule things, you know, earlier in April then. So, you know, so it's a little bit more compact than it than usual, but not terribly so.
Yeah. So Easter is really the big holiday here in the month of April in terms of crowd impact, certainly.
Yeah.
And so that's something to be aware of. I mean, if you're going in April, then, or April, I keep saying that. If you're going on Easter, Easter Day, is that the worst day of the week, or does it kind of like peak beyond that?
No, it's usually, it'll be like, you know, this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the first part will be busy. Easter Sunday itself, not terrible, and the day after is actually going to be a little bit busier. Easter Sunday, you know, locals are there off, you know, doing Easter egg hunts and visiting relatives and going to church and stuff like that. So a lot of people don't actually go into the parks that day, but they do the day before or the day after. Usually the day before, actually, people are cooking, so it's usually the day after when it's even busier. So,
and in terms of like kind of stacking up Easter compared to other holidays, it's not as bad as like July 4th, right?
You know, the overall period is definitely busier than July 4th.
Hmm.
It's not even close to being you know, Christmas though.
Right.
So you know, Easter on our 1 to 10 scale, there are a couple of days where it's tens, but it's like, you know, barely 10, or it's right at 10. Christmas, if we had a scale that went to 20, would be like a 15. Since they're just that much busier because, you know, everyone's off. You know, Easter's one of those things where lots of different schools have in fact, so like the busiest, days for, the April 3rd and 4th this year are the dates on which more schools are off than any other time for spring break. And that's still, only 80% of schools, 79% of schools that are out on April 3rd and 4th. So still 20% of schools are still going this week.
Right.
Whereas over Christmas, they're all off. So yeah, that tells you how much busier it would be.
And the other thing is, I'm wondering, you know, like Christmas Day morning actually isn't that busy in the parks because a lot of people are kind of, you know, they're waking up, they're doing the whole family thing, but then it really ramps up from there. Is that the same thing with Easter?
It's a little bit before and a little bit after it. Christmas is a little bit different in that it's after the holiday when things get really busy. For Easter, it's generally the week before, or at least this year it is.
Okay.
And a little bit after.
Fair enough. I like it. Let's talk about the weather in Walt Disney World for April. And, you know, it's actually one of the best months to go because this will be the last month before the summer swelter begins next month. I mean, this is really like the last bastion of decent weather before Thanksgiving comes back around. American Thanksgiving, not Canadian Thanksgiving in June. sorry,
nice.
I had to. So when we're talking about the weather, I mean, really, you know, for most of the month, you know, you're looking at highs in the really mid 70s to, you know, 80s. It kind of, you know, can vary, but it usually doesn't get much higher than, you know, the mid 80s. That's really kind of not really a likely scenario. And on top of it, it's not really yet the wet season either. So it's, you know, it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you can still have the 70s working in there. By the time you get to May, the highs are going to be in the 80s. I mean,
have you seen what the temps are going to be for the next 10 days though?
No, what are they?
84, 84, 88, 88. Then 79 on Easter Sunday. Praise the Lord. But then 84, 90, 91, 91, 91.
All right, never mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, see, either. I forgot to take into account
global warming. I'm sorry, you can't say that in Florida. It is was it climate change? Wait, what are the words? What is it? You can say?
I don't know.
Atmospheric reemployment, something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's already hitting the low 90s in Orlando. Yeah.
Well, on the bright side, that's the high. I mean, usually in the evenings and in the mornings, it's actually quite lovely still.
Because 72 for the low. Oh well, so much for that.
Now, well, while you're looking at the 10-day forecast, what's the humidity look like?
You know, I don't have it, but it looks like it's only rains one day. Rains two of the next 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the rainy season yet.
No, it's not like it's going to rain every.
That comes next month. Yeah, it starts to come next month, but it's not hurricane season yet. again, if it's based on weather, forgetting the crowds and everything, that's really,
we're never going to be sponsored by the Florida Tourism. It's hot, but it's not yet hurricane season.
You're not going to melt out.
The plagues haven't come yet. Yeah, so,
it isn't quite the sweat running down your back when you're only in the parking lot hot.
Yeah.
But it's good for swimming, so you don't have to worry about – basically, you don't need to pack any cold weather clothing. No sweaters.
No.
No, you don't have to worry about that cold snap running through. Cold snap running through, basically, based on lens forecast right now, it sounds like 81.
Yeah, I mean, if the high isn't above 70, that would be unusual for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at the weather there. So pretty easy to pack.
Definitely. Yep.
Actually, it's going to be pretty easy to pack for the next about 6 months. So,
oh, yeah. So April, May, June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, at least 6-7 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking about special events in the month of April at Walt Disney World, of course, you have Epcot's International Flower and Garden Festival continues throughout April.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other special events? I'm not aware of any.
No, that's really all they need is they've got Easter. They've got Flower and Garden. That pretty much – that's it. There'll be some stuff next month that we'll talk about. But, yeah. Really, I mean, after Easter, everyone sort of it's get ready for summer period, and you can actually tell that based on what the number of rides that are opening versus the number of rides that are closing for maintenance.
Yep,
there's exactly one thing opening that's currently closed, and that's Flame Tree Barbecue, which is scheduled to open on the 22nd. Also, the Polynesian Villas and Bungalows are open too, but those are new. So, but the number of things that are closing, let's just go through the list.
Yeah,
Jungle Cruise closing April 13th to May 8th. It's a Small World April 14th to the 17th. Lights Motor Action the 20th to the 24th. Space Mountain the 20th to the 23rd. Big Thunder the 27th to the 30th. Pirates of the Caribbean, and that's a huge one. That's 4 months.
Wow.
Change. Yeah. Actually, that doesn't start till May, but that's it. But so Jungle Cruise, It's a Small World, Lights Motor Action, Space Mountain, Big Thunder, a lot of headliners right there.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You know what I was remembering, like back in the day, in the day when the Unofficial Guide only had balloons on their cover, Disney World could not fathom closing those kind of headliners this time of year for this long, right? I mean, that was like, you know, heresy. They did that in January or September. Yeah. So it just kind of shows you how they're just, you know, basically, well, It's a year-round operation now in terms of, you know, maintenance and taking care of those kinds of things.
It's true.
Cool. I mean, anything else in the month of April? I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
They're prepping for everyone's getting ready for summer at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Once Easter's over, yeah.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people that are listening to this podcast if you're listening to this podcast and you're going in April, odds are you're probably going in the next week or two for Easter, spring break. That kind of a thing. I think people who are going that. What are the crowds like, Glenn, that last week in April? Like, what kind of numbers?
Oh, it's fours, threes, fours, fives.
That's not bad at all.
No, not bad at all. No.
Yeah, if you're looking to take a last minute trip, you're looking to take a trip, but you want to get down there before it becomes sweltering hot, and you're looking for a low crowd. That's a great time of year to go.
Yep.
Yeah, check it out. Cool. Very good. Well. I think that means it's time to answer some of your listener emails here that we got. And we're going to go through the email. So let's start with our first email. And it is from – who's our email? Oh, it's from Katie from Metro Detroit. Not to be confused with Suburban Detroit.
Huh?
Can I ask an opinion? We're doing a split stay on an April-May family trip. Our first 5 nights will be staying in 2 separate, hopefully adjoining rooms at Port Orleans Riverside. The last part of our stay, I'm deciding between 2 nights at the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian. Our party consists of 4 adults and 1 toddler, and we'd be sharing 1 room when we move up to Deluxe. We've been to the Polynesian a couple times before, but never stayed at the Grand Floridian. The Grand Floridian would cost about $200 more for this stay. If it weren't for the construction at the Polynesian and uncertainty of where it will be by the time we check in, I would definitely pick that. We're going to be at Magic Kingdom and Epcot Park those 2 days, but would like to take some time to enjoy the resort since it will be the end of our trip. I would have considered the Contemporary as well, but no rooms were available at the spring discount and will not be willing to pay rack rates.
Man, that's tough. I would go Grand Floridian.
Any reason?
Yeah, so $200 isn't a lot. It's over 4 nights, it's $50 a night, right?
Over 4, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not that bad. But you're guaranteed not to be affected by any of the construction. Also, it's a little bit closer to the Magic Kingdom. And you know the good things about the Poly right now, other than the fact you know the landscaping and the service and stuff like that, are the restaurants and those are still walkable. So none of the construction issues, but you do get all of the benefits. Plus, there's a you know there's a gym if you want to run around the Grand Floridian. It's got the spa. It does have a little bit better restaurants, I think.
Is it safe to say that the Polynesian is turning the corner in terms of the construction?
Craziness. But the main pool's down, you know, still, and you know the bungalows are still being worked on. So,
yeah, there's that. So you're saying that the extra money just go with the Grand Flow?
Yeah, I would right now. Yeah,
okay, makes sense. Next, we have an email from. Katie, one more question. Have any of you tried a spring discount room or annual pass discount room for the year? We've had a lot of issues finding what we wanted available at the discount, even though my travel agent started looking the day the discount was announced. Have you had, Len, you've been down.
Spring discount. Yeah. No.
AP discount room for, in general. Have you had any trouble?
No. I got an AP room last minute for one of my trips in March.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So maybe she's just going during a busier time of the year.
Maybe so. Yeah. I mean, the number of rooms there are limited. So especially if you want a really popular resort, are you going at a really popular time?
Yeah, it could be. Next, we have an email from Danielle from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Here's my question. We're in Disney World for about 6 days. Oh, we were in Disney World, sorry, for 6 days, January 4th through 10th. We were at Hollywood Studios on the 6th and did not get a fast pass for Fantasmic. We went over at 6:05 for the 7 o'clock show and were stopped at the stroller parking and held behind a rope. No one told us how long we'd be standing there, and it ended up being 45 minutes. Hundreds of people queued up behind us, and we were like cattle. You couldn't leave to use the bathroom or anything. Then they announced standing room only. Once they drop the rope, we are nearly trampled to be only left with the bad seats in the back. There was only one show that night, and I'm sure that was a factor. Do you think that a Fastpass Plus for Fantasmic should be the recommended means? Thanks again, Westside.
Ugh.
You know, the problem with getting a Fastpass for Fantasmic, if it's one of your original three, is
you can't get anything else after.
You're done for the day.
Yeah, nothing else. Exactly.
Come on, Len. Cue, go for it. There's nothing else to do in the studio, so everything's closed. So
No. I'm good. So that's that. Now, if it's like your fourth or fifth Fast Pass, then that's fine.
Yeah. Would this have helped? Let's play some Monday morning quarterbacking here. Would this have helped her if she had gone that way? I mean, would you recommend it based on the, you know, one Fantasmic? You should do it, because that's really odd that she got there an hour beforehand, and they basically. Like, withheld the whole thing, you know, the whole stadium, it sounded like. And, she, you know, by the time that she got into there, there was just standing room only.
You know, I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't like Fantasmic that much.
What?
I know I don't.
All right, I know someone's not getting a Christmas card this year.
Someone's not getting invited. You know, I think waiting an hour for that is just something beyond comprehension. I mean, what I would say is, you know, do your three fast passes at the studios for whatever three attractions are still running, up and running there. And then once you're done with that, see what you can get day of. Because you should be done like, you know, 12, 1 o'clock. There should be a few fast passes left over for Fantasmic for that day. I would say that's a more reasonable approach because, number one, I wouldn't wait an hour to see it. Number two, that's sort of an unusual situation where you're just not going to get in, or you're going to get trampled by other stuff. I've heard of them running out of space for standby guests, but being trampled, that's more rare.
Okay. Next, we have an email from Teresa from Michigan. Question number one: set the stage. DVC members, three adults with annual passes that expire on April 6th. We have trips planned for April 30th to May 3rd for two people. And a trip planned for October 16th and 19th for three people. Is it more economically advantageous to renew two of our annual passes at the DVC rate and then buy one 4-day park hopper, or just use undercover tourists to buy tickets needed in May and October?
So it's two annual passes at the DVC and then a 4-day? Tell me again.
Yeah, so they've got three adults with annual passes that expire before their trip, basically. They have two trips planned, but they're going to expire before that. Okay. So they're looking to see, is it better to renew two of their annual passes at the DVC rate and then buy 1 4-day park hopper, or just use Undercover Tourist to buy tickets for both regular, like no annual pass at all in May and October. Because they're going in April, May, they're going for April 30th to the 3rd. So that's like 4 days, it looks like.
Right.
And then October 16th to the 19th, that's like, what, 5 days?
Yeah, no, it's cheaper to just buy tickets, not the AP, yeah.
Yeah. So there's no real – now, they're a DVC member, so they get the discounted rate for APs, but it's still not going to be worth it for you.
No.
Okay. The other thing also – I would also add, if they're DVC, they're probably staying with points. And if that's the case, then they're not even getting advantage of, like, you know, the annual pass, you know, room discounts or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What, so hold on, let me, how many nights are they, how many days are they going to be in the parks?
April 30th to May 3rd, so that's 4 days. And then October 16th to 19th, that's 3 days, right?
Yeah, so let me see what a park hopper is. Two park hoppers, 7 days?
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's about $140 cheaper, even with park hopping,
really?
to get the 7 day passes.
Yeah. So unless
they'd need a 3 day and a 4 day, wouldn't they? Because you can't buy no expiration.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's actually to their advantage because then they can split up the cost.
No, so then it's actually cheaper to buy the annual pass because then the expiration is gone because then it's like $1,400.
Oh, right, because they have to like – because they're going
to
go back.
They have to buy a 3 day. Yeah. No, so it's cheaper to buy the AP.
Wow. So that's because of the new change in the system, right? In the old days.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Very good. The other question that Teresa has, if I were to take the Mickey Miles, it's a small world virtual challenge. Listen to the song repeatedly. How many hours do I need to listen to equal the number of hours a rider at Disney World on August 8th would hear the song played based on getting on and off the ride and waiting in the line? And does the song play in the queue? Now, in the queue, Mike, it's like a instrumental, right?
Yes, it is instrumental.
Yeah. So she wants to know how many hours would she need to listen to equal the number of hours a rider at Disney World on August 8th would hear the song based on getting on and off the ride and waiting in line?
I can't say I understand the question.
Yeah, I don't know, so
how long would you have to listen?
She says, it's a small world virtual challenge and listen to the song repeatedly. How many hours would I need to listen to equal the number of hours a rider at Disney World on August 8th would hear the song based on getting on and off the ride and waiting in line?
August 8th?
I don't know what the significance of August 8th is.
And so the park is open for 14 hours?
Sure.
So, wow, so getting on and off. It's a 20-minute ride, 20-40.
Yeah, you got to keep – oh, so the reason why she's asking, does the song play in the queue? No, it's not the same song as in the ride. It's like
– No, but you can – no, it's their instrumental. And you probably have to listen for about 9 hours, I'm guessing. Nine-ish, 9.5?
Yeah, depending on how the crowds – because obviously in the afternoon you would spend less time actually riding.
Yeah, you'd be in the queue longer. Yeah, but I'm thinking 9.
My head hurts now.
That sounds like Mindy's favorite thing ever.
Yeah, that's a Mindy question. She could answer that.
Next, we have an email from Justin Staub of Columbia, South Carolina. I'll be visiting the world on May 2nd to the 10th and have questions about some of the ongoing refurbishment and construction going on at the parks, especially at the Magic Kingdom.
Ooh,
starting at the Magic Kingdom, will the hub construction be completed before my trip?
No.
Can I reasonably expect Jungle Cruise, listed as closed April 13th to the 8th, to begin soft openings during my trip? They're there May 2nd to 10th.
It might open a day or two ahead of time. Actually, the last couple of refurbs have opened. I think the last couple of big ones have opened a day or two early. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be open for you.
Yeah. In general, though, when you're talking about soft openings, if it's a brand new attraction, you could have weeks of soft openings. But for like something like this, Jungle Cruise or something.
Yeah, maybe a day or so. Maybe a day, maybe two, you know, depending on what it is.
Right. My other concern is at Hollywood Studios. Should I expect further attraction area closings between now or May, or...
Yeah, it's all closing. All of it.
Or will Disney work in the background for the time being? I think they got to hold the line at least what it is right now, Len, right?
I can't imagine they can't close it. I think that's why... I think that's why Let's Motor Action isn't closed. Because if they close one more thing, people... That's like... That'll be the revolt. And that's why they're adding Frozen stuff again. What can we put into the studios to make it look like a full day park again?
Based on popular demand by one Mike Newell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Next, we have an email from Derek from Louisville, Kentucky. Awesome job, you guys. I love it. My question is, we are traveling the world soon and have wishes, fireworks, dessert party reservations. Will the construction of the hub in front of the Tomorrowland Terrace affect the view of the castle and the party, or is it mostly complete?
It's not going to affect it because the Universal Disney's almost doubled the price of the – it's now called the Wishes Dessert Party, by the way. So it went from $29 for adults to $49 for adults.
Wow.
And then they changed the name too. So, yeah, kids are now $29.
Wow. That's a lot of money for some cupcakes.
Yeah, right.
And an okay view. All right. Well, let's move on to our next email, and it is from Mike Newell.
Hello.
Hello.
Dear Matt.
It's actually a tweet you sent me.
Is it really?
Any idea on how long the Buzz Lightyear – this is from Phil S. 2012.
Okay.
Joseph Roche, it looks like. I don't know why. Oh, feels like it's in Phillies. Boo.
Phil?
Any idea on how long the Buzz Lightyear ride at the Magic Kingdom will be closed?
Did we just talk about enclosures?
Maybe. This is also that they had sent this about, I'm not sure what date they were looking at when this might have closed.
Yeah, it looks like it's open now. I don't see a...
Hooray! Look at that. Instant gratification.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
Cool. Another email from Mike Newell. It's actually, Mike just sends me these tweets, evidently. It's from Michael Villar? Villar? If I booked a fast pass with someone who has permissions over others, does it extend to the other accounts?
You mean if you book something for me and I have power over Mike? No, I don't think it's commutative like that now.
It's not a Ponzi scheme with these fast passes. It doesn't go down the pyramid.
Yeah, so like you could have planning power for two people, and they can have planning power for two people, and by the time you get to like the 20th level of that, it's everybody in the United States.
Isn't that like the Kevin Bacon option?
At six
right
degrees,
there?
It's completely. It's a little bit different. But one's a tree, one's a graph. But yeah.
Yeah. Next, we have an email from Alicia from New York City. Mike, I wonder if she's from the West Side.
Damn.
My family will be heading to the world in September. None of us have ever been there, so I've spent the past few months wrapping my head around FastPass Plus reservations. I was planning on making reservations for things like Peter Pan's Flight and Everest, but I keep hearing about their cool interactive queues. So here's the question. Would you still recommend making FastPass Plus reservations for rides like Peter Pan's Flight, or is the new queue worth experiencing it as a first-timer? That's a great question.
You know, I would say this. I think the interactive queue at Peter Pan is reasonably similar to the interactive queue at Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So if you can't get fast passes for both, fine. If you can't, I don't know that I would be willing to wait an hour in line, though.
Yeah, they're cute, but not that cute.
I mean, really, yeah, I mean, these are giant iPad games. I mean, they're cute, they're fun. You know, what kind of iPad game would you need to be willing to wait an hour to play it?
Yeah. You know? I mean, they're nice to see. I mean, I can understand, like, if you've never done it before, you want to be able to, you know, experience it, right? And if you're going through the fast pass line, so you're not going to do
there,
it.
But they'll be there for a long time, you know?
Yeah, I think it probably depends on the ride. Like, Seven Dwarfs, I mean, because of the lines are so crazy, well, odds are, I mean, they're probably not even going to get that one, right?
Yeah, so.
So you might be stuck regardless. But for, like, I mean, Winnie the Pooh's, it's okay, I think. I mean, it's something like, the Haunted Mansion one is pretty cool.
Yeah.
The one at Mermaid is okay. I don't think it's really that cool. You know, that little thing with the crabs and you wave your arms and there's
I think it's all fine. But here's the thing. I mean, if you're going back any time in the next 5 years, it'll be there.
That's true.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
It's just their first trip. She's just trying to make sure she's not missing out on, like, you know, a really cool experience for the sake of saving 5 minutes in line.
Yeah, so.
You're just saying go for the quick wait, get more attractions, and you'll be happy.
Yeah, at some point in the future, you'll see it, and it'll be fine then.
Okay, fair enough. Next email is from – who's our next email from? Oh, it's from Michael David of Berlin, New Jersey. My question is about ADRs and FastPass Pluses. Have there been two bigger negatives than the way these two programs are implemented in the history of the parks? For us – they have completely taken out the joy of planning and done nothing to improve the in-park experience for us. With FastPass Plus, unless you are able and aware to make your selections exactly 60 days out, you'll be shut out of the newest attractions and stuck making Fastpasses for things like Buzz Lightyear and the Great Movie Ride. As far as ADRs, we now have to plan what park we're going to be in for solely based on dinner plans, completely crushing any spontaneity. I think price plays into this as well. The more we pay, the more we expect in return. It just feels like they're hitting a tipping point in that respect. You know, and this email reminds me of the chapter in your book of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World, where I believe the chapter, it's either the chapter or the section is entitled The Death of Spontaneity.
Yeah.
And you have like quotes from like three or four people saying it's terrible, like something like Michael just said here, where it's getting really, really bad. And then you'll have three or four emails from people saying it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. It depends on how much structure you like. And I think for a lot of people, they're, the line at which you cross over from, you know, sufficiently, like, you know, everything's in order to, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do all this, is different for everybody, but everybody has that point where it crosses over.
Yeah, and I think that's really kind of based on what your what your preferences are. If you're the kind of like type A who likes to really plan every nuance of it, and more, and I'm going to go on a limb here and say that you're also the kind of person who's been doing this for a long time. You know, you're a Disney World veteran. You're used to the old system. You like the old system because it worked for you because you were ahead of the system, essentially. And, you know, all, you know, the old FastPass system was great, you know, and all that stuff. That was, you know, I can see why a lot of people go that prefer, you know, they think that the new way of things, the new world order is not as, you know, intriguing to them. But I think the thing for like someone like my parents who might go down there, who definitely do not plan anything, this is great. For my dad to be able to sit in bed at the vacation home or wherever, you know, and pick out some attractions for the next day and then have a, even if it is Buzz Lightyear, like to him, that's like the coolest thing ever. And it makes it so much easier. So it's, I think it basically is based on, you know, kind of, you know, what your background and kind of agenda is, so to speak. So, I mean, Mike, what do you, you're kind of, you know, you're not Len Testa Jr.
No.
But you're not, you know, you kind of fall in the middle here. What's your thought on it? Is it, do you feel like it's the death of spontaneity, or, you know, do you kind of like the new system?
I like the new system for what it is. since I go so much, it's not a horrible situation if I miss something or I can't get to something. So I sometimes the spontaneity is more important to me than anything else.
Okay. That's fair enough. How are we doing on time, Mr. Newell?
We can wrap it up with this last one if you'd like.
Ooh, well, look at the power here. I'm going to exercise. All right, last email of the day. That means I give Mr. Newell three emails to choose from. One gets right today. The other two back go back in the queue to be answered later. And
I hope I get it right. I hope I get it right. I hope I get it right. I've had 2 weeks to study, so go ahead.
Your options are, can the unofficial guide researchers take one for the team? Don't look at me. I'm so ashamed. Not worth the pixie dust.
Ooh, those are good. Based on Len's laugh, I'll go with the second one.
Don't look at me. I'm so ashamed. Last email of the day is from Dave. Dave from Downingtown near Valley Forge.
Sure.
Oh, well, we starve or freeze to death here.
The British are in New Philadelphia. British,
enjoying our Philadelphia's fine food and drink. We starve or freeze to death here at Valley Forge. It's a strange.
That's a great quote. That and whenever your family functions saying, quiet, you're going to ruin Ma's photo.
Exactly. You can tell that to your kids now.
It's great. It's so true.
Quiet, you're going to ruin Ma's photo.
It's one of the best quotes to make that makes sense, but nobody like, but yeah, you can giggle to yourself as to why you're saying it. Exactly. All right. Dave writes, I am so ashamed asking, but I feel this is a safe place. We're planning our next Disney World trip, but my wife and kids, I can't believe I'm admitting this, want to go to Universal. I continue to say Disney World or Universal, as doing two is much more expensive, but hey, does anyone have a wife and kids that listen to me? So with that being said, I'm looking to minimize expenses while maximizing luxury. So here's my thought. Let me know what you think. Get points from Dave's Vacation Club rental for four nights. Come on with a name like Dave. He has to be a good guy. Oh, I get it. Come on with a name like Dave. He's got to be a good guy.
True.
Probably stay at Beach Club for Storm Along Bay tickets from Undercover Tourist.
Tickets from Undercover Tourist, sure.
Yep. Okay. We would not be on the meal plan. Then take Disney's Express, told we can do that with DVC rentals, from the airport to Disney World. Sure. Prefer doing it from the airport so we don't have to leave 3 hours early on the last day. Rent a car at Swan or Dolphin on our last day for our drive to Universal, and then back to the airport. Stay on site at Universal for two nights, to get front of the line access. We're planning on going the end of August after the 17th to 2016, but I really don't have a problem taking the kids out of school. Don't judge me.
I would totally do that. Good.
I'm open to other suggestions to make it a bit easier. I'm a deal hunter, but like to stay with nicer accommodations. I've also taken a look at the Waldorf Hilton Swan Dolphin, as the accommodations are nice but reasonably priced. Any help is greatly appreciated in determining accommodations, sequence, or anything else.
And the advantage of renting DVC points is you've got that sweet spot where you're paying the absolute lowest rate for the quality of room you get. So, I mean, it's going to be as cheap as you can find anything, but you also get all the benefits of staying on site. So I would normally say, you know, the Hilton is fine, but the shuttle service doesn't run as frequently as Disney's, which has really improved in the last year. And also you don't get the extra magic hours, which you may want to take advantage of. I love the idea of staying on site at Universal. Just remember, you don't get front of the line access at Cabana Bay, even though it's a fabulous hotel. So Hard Rock, Portofino, or Royal Pacific would be the ones. And Royal Pacific is usually going to be the cheapest of those three.
Why doesn't Universal get front of the line access for the new one?
It's the value resort, so it's frequently the rooms are under $100 a night.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a lot of people for front of the line access.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say, Dave, is just take a look at what the discount might be with your room. With if you had an annual pass, you might have to call Universal for this. But in many cases, whatever you're paying for tickets, the incremental difference between that and an annual pass, you'll more than make up for it in savings by getting a cheaper hotel. Like, it's entirely possible to get 40 or 45% off your hotel room.
Wow.
With an annual pass, which, you know, I think the break even was two or three nights the last time I looked, depending on the hotel you're staying at. And, you know, that'll get you front of the line access. You also get all kinds of freebies. You get water bottles, you get food discounts, you get merch discounts. So take a look at what an annual pass would cost based on the incremental cost between that and your 2 day park ticket.
Len, which Hilton was he talking about?
The Hilton Bonnet Creek.
Oh, Bonnet Creek. Okay.
The Bonnet Creek, that one, or the Waldorf Astoria that's there, or the two Wyndham properties that are there.
Matt,
he said Waldorf Astoria.
Thank you.
So yeah, but I think it's a great plane.
No, because the Hilton in Downtown Disney, you get extra magic hours with that.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's true. It's getting kind of old.
Is it? I haven't been in a couple of years.
You know, it's. Let's put it this way. That plus the construction by Downtown Disney?
Yes. Good point.
I just can't think of a compelling reason to stay at any of those hotels. Now, the Bonnet Creek stuff, you know, I like Bonnet Creek a lot. Especially the Lazy River over at the Hilton Bonnet Creek. I think that's fabulous. I think the dining options there are great. Mm. Again, the transportation is not you know, as good as Disney's, but I would definitely stay there, especially if you can get it for like $140, $150 a night.
Cool. I like it.
I like
wrap things up here for this episode of WWF Today. I also want to remind everybody that if you want to send your emails in, we'd love to hear from you, your comments, thoughts, questions, whatever is on your mind about Walt Disney World. We want to hear about it. Email us questions@wdwtoday.com. We're also being sponsored today by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. And I'll tell you, if you're going to Walt Disney World and you're trying to figure out this whole hotel thing, because, you know, which hotel is better, which deal is better, there's so many deals that are out there. This is what I love about using a travel agency like MEI and Mouse Travel 4, because they're here to help you get the best possible deal. You can sit there and go plug in 800 different discount codes and resident discounts and all these other things, and you know what? It's just a lot of work. Not only you're going to do that today, you're going to do that tomorrow. No, who's got time for that? Because, of course, discounts change every day, and you can always change your rate between now and when you go. That's a lot of work, people. I mean, I'm just saying ESPN.com does not read itself. So with that in mind,
wow,
you know, why not have the travel agents at MEI and Rest Travel help you plan your trip, do all that work for you? That way you could say, you know what, you email your person, be like, hello, person. There's so many great agents. I don't want to miss anybody else. I'm just going to say hello, person, and say, you know, I heard, you know, there's a new discount code out. Is that help me at all? In fact, many times what's actually going to happen, they're going to email you and be like, hey, guess what? This new discount code came out, or we have this new group rate that came out. We've already applied it for you. We just saved you $40. And that is a huge benefit. In fact, here's a little tidbit, a little story for you. I was cruising last week, as many of you know, with our good friend Becky Mankin from MEI and Mouse and Travel. And she told me that one of the things that they do at the agency actually is each – I believe it's each month. I could be wrong on this, but there's a certain amount of time where she challenges her agency who can get – who can save their clients the most amount of money. Whoever does it gets some sort of award or bonus or whatever it is. But that's – this is the kind of agency they're working towards. This is a company that is trying to save you the most possible money because they want you to have a great vacation. That's the bottom line. If you have a great vacation, you save a lot of money, you're going to come back and use them again. It's just that simple. And they're great. Check them out right now, mousefantravel.com. We're also being sponsored by good old All-Star Vacation Homes. And, boy, talking about – you want a balance here of great place at a great price, All-Star Vacations. Look no further. I mean, whether you're just traveling with just your family, you're going with a group, you're going with half your extended family, your whole family, Len Testa, who it doesn't matter. The good news is All-Star Vacation Homes can fit you all in there. They got some amazing homes. It's just, again, these – the kind of amenities you have to see to believe, because you're going to be like, wow, we're going to be able to spend the whole week here and we're going to be able to afford it and we're going to have such a great time. It's going to be the point where it's like, you know, we could go sweat it out in the parks for another 2 hours, or we could go back to our own private pool. And you know what? The private pool wins out more often than you think. Check them out right now at allstarvacationhomes.com. And we're also being sponsored by touringplans.com. And I'll tell you, if you want to be the hero of your family, if you want to be the one who says, family, I will get you through this park, and we will do everything that we were promised way back yonder, that can be you with touringplans.com, because you're going to have all the tools, all the resources, everything you need to see everything and do everything without waiting for everything. It's really that simple. You're armed with the tools you need, and it's only a couple dollars for the whole year. It's a great value. Check them out right now, touringplans.com. So for Len Testa, Mike Sopa, and Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchford. Talk again on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.